Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
For today's brief time in the Word, I want to tell you about someone who was surprised into repentance. Our verse is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. We read this. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." King David had lived for about a year in a tangled web of denial and gradually growing coldness and hardness towards God. He sinned in both adultery and murder, and then he covered both crimes with the image of a rescuer of poor Bathsheba. God's convicting power was at work within David for that year, and as he resisted that convicting work of God, his spiritual life dried up, as he described in Psalm 32. David got to the point where God would not allow him to go any deeper into that quicksand, so he sent David a prophet and a friend named Nathan. Nathan began with a simple story about a poor farmer and a rich farmer, and how the rich farmer wasn't satisfied with what he had, and he stole the precious lamb of the poor farmer. David was outraged at the heartlessness of this rich man, and he condemned him immediately to death. Nathan didn't hesitate to bring the point home to his friend, and he simply said, "You are the man." With this, Nathan applied the peril with alarming simplicity. Nathan had to shock David into seeing his sin for what it really was. David was himself guilty of what he so easily condemned in a hypothetical man. David was surprised into repentance, but he wasn't frightened. You cannot frighten men into true repentance. It's possible to frighten them into regret about their sin, but true repentance is different. Regret over sin may lead someone to repentance, but it often does not. David needed to be surprised, but he didn't need to be frightened. And this was also a very personal confrontation from God and his prophet Nathan unto David. The great Scottish preacher Alexander MacLaren wrote this, "God accuses us and condemns us one by one, that he may save us one by one." A personal salvation requires a personal conviction of sin. It wasn't enough for David to confess that he was a sinner in a very general sense. He had to confess his sin at this very point. In this sense, the conviction and confession of our sin needs to be specific. J. Edwin Orr told of a time of revival in Brazil when a lady stood in a crowded church and said, "Please pray for me. I need to love people more." The leader of the meeting gently told her, "That is not confession, sister. Anyone could have said it." Later in the service, the woman stood again and said, "Please pray for me. What I should have said is that my tongue has caused a lot of trouble in this church." Her pastor whispered to the leader, "Now she's talking." You see, it costs nothing to say, "I'm not everything I should be." Or it costs nothing to say, "I ought to be a better Christian." That's true of everybody. But it does cost something to say, "I have been a troublemaker in this church." Or, "I have had bitterness towards certain leaders to whom I apologize right now." Since God convicts us personally and specifically, that is how we should confess, both personally and specifically. Spurgeon told the story of a woman who came, seeming to be in great sorrow. She said about what a great sinner she was. But Spurgeon suspected, for some reason, that her repentance wasn't sincere. So he said this, "Well, if you're a sinner, Of course you've broken God's laws. Let's read the Ten Commandments and see which ones you've broken. So they started at the first commandment, you have shall no other gods before me. And Spurgeon asked her, have you ever broken that commandment? Oh no, she said, not that I know of. They went to the second commandment, you shall not make any graven image. Have you ever broken that one? Oh no, never, sir, she answered. As you might suppose, Spurgeon went through all 10 commandments, and she could not find a single one that she had broken. And what Spurgeon had suspected was true. She didn't really consider herself a sinner, and her pretended show of repentance was only because she thought it was expected of her. God put King David in a place where it wasn't just possible. And if we find ourselves in the same place, we should regard it as a gift. The words, "You are the man," are really a gift from a loving God.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.